Smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salapatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salapatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen, music by Peter Van Steeden, and another gala amateur contest. New music, new voices, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight! The crowd is cheering Fred Allen as he leads the parade to the old town hall. Fred's leading the band with a deflated pigskin, and the Mighty Allen Art Players are out of wind, too, running away from the crowd. We're on our way to the old town hall, and everybody's going! Everybody's going! Here they come, auctioneers!
If this is an auction sale, why don't you put up that radio, mister?
This radio ain't for sale till tomorrow, lady. It's town hall tonight!
Second story, man.
You say you broke into the house and didn't steal nothing, Butch?
No, I seen a radio. Then I says to myself, put up a chair, Butch, it's town hall today.
And now, girls, our guest of honor brings us a message.
My message is, beat it for your radio, sisters. It's town hall tonight.
Well, sir, here we are at the doors of the town hall, folks, and there's Fred welcoming the crowd. Fred's standing on a soapbox, and he's all of a lather. Let's listen.
The polls are closed, folks, but the old town hall is still open for business. Step right in.
Hi there, talk too much.
That's what they all say, folks. Keep to the right, please, if you'll
come. Mr. Allen.
Hi there, Mrs. Green. Hello, Mrs. Blue.
Lord, if you ain't getting colorblind, I'm Mrs. Green.
I'm Mrs. Blue.
Is my face red, girls, but go right in and hurry, hurry, hurry.
How can we start the show, Fred?
You might try opening with Rap Tap on Wood from Born to Dance, Harry.
Okay, Fred, I will. Let her go, Peter!
When you sit down one day, look over yourself and say you're very good. Rap Tap on Wood. When you have such success, you're conscious that you impress the neighborhood. Rap Tap on Wood.
That rambunctious raconteur of highfalutin, higgledy piggledy, and abecedarian abacadabra, Fred Allen in the flesh.
That rambunctious, eh?
All right.
You're ashamed to put the bunk in so soon, the rambunctious, eh? And listen, Harry, after this, when you're saying in the flesh, don't look at my head. Just sort of caramel. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before we look behind the piano to see what Uncle Don has left for us this evening, I'll read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, vendor of knick-knack, at the corner store, is warning all patrons not to handle articles displayed on the counter. Hodge says somebody switched on an electric razor last night, and the thing got away, and before Hodge could pull the fuse, the razor had shaved one side of the store cat bare as a grapefruit. Now, Hodge says he doesn't mind the damage done to the razor, but as president of the SPCA, he officially resents the wear and tear on his cat. So much for clip joint activities around the village. And now for the town hall news. The curtain, Harry.
Descending rapidly, Fred.
Thank you. That's better than coming right down, isn't it? The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The town hall news sees nothing, shows all. New York City, New York. Dr. Byron Stuckey, surgeon at the New York Neurological Institute, suggests that all filling stations be equipped as first aid quarters to cope with increasing number of automobile accidents on the road. Town hall news shows what the filling station of tomorrow may be like if attendants attempt to mix medicine and gasoline. The scene, a filling station office.
Good gas filling station. A wreck on Route 1? Okay, I'll send a mechanic in the ambulance right away. Nurse?
Yes, doctor?
Wreck on Route 1. 10 gallons of gas and 1 fractured skull.
I'll make out the ambulance call.
Well, that guy outside in the trailer's blowing his horn. See what he wants.
Yes?
Give me 5 gallons of gas. I'm in a hurry.
Okay.
What was it?
5 gallons of gas in a hurry.
You'll have to wait a minute. The patient in Ward 2 is checking out.
You mean that sedan internal complications case?
Yes. Is he dressed?
He's waiting to pay his bill.
Fine. Send him in.
Yes, doctor.
I'll wipe this grease off my hands. I may have to feel his pulse.
Doc's ready for you, mister.
Oh, thank you, nurse.
Well, how do you feel?
Well, I'm a little wobbly, but I've got to leave to go.
Oh, there's that guy blowing for the 5 gallons again.
He'll have to wait. I'm busy with this patient. Now, sir?
Is my bill ready?
Yes, it's right here, itemized. $89.57. That includes repairs on the car, your operation, and room and board.
How long have I been here?
You've been convalescing here at the filling station 3 weeks.
Well, did I have an operation?
I'll say you did. You were brought in unconscious. You had an abdominal operation and your carbon scraped. Uh-huh. 10 stitches in your scalp, your gas tank welded, 2 ribs removed, and your rear end simonized.
Well, for $89.57, it's pretty cheap, isn't it?
Good gas service, sir.
Well, here's your check.
Thank you.
Am I cured now, Doc?
You'd better drop back in a week. I want to remove that plastic cast and have a look at your oil.
Okay, so long, Doc.
Happy motoring. Who's blowing that horn?
It's that guy for the 5 gallons of gas. Why, he's coming in.
Hey, quit stalling, buddy. I want 5 gallons of gas.
Good gas service. Be with you in just a minute.
I've been blowing the horn outside for half an hour.
I've been treating a patient. A human life is more important than 5 gallons of gas.
Not to me, it ain't.
Oh, here's our ambulance back, Doc.
Help the intern in with that stretcher.
Yes, doctor.
How about my 5 gallons of gas?
You'll have to be patient. This is an emergency case.
Oh, just sit down here, mister.
Oh, I don't know.
What happened?
I put out my hand. I was.
The intern says it's a broken leg and his gas tank is punctured.
I don't know.
This is a filling station, ain't it?
Yes.
Well, I want 5 gallons of gas.
This is also a first aid station. This man is in agony.
I'm in agony. I don't sound like
Bring me some splints and bandages, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
I'll take a look at this leg.
Oh, no, I don't. Sir. I'm afraid
too. Yes. Compound splinter of the fibula.
Here's your splints and bandages, Doc.
How about my 5 gallons of gas?
You be quiet.
There, now, steady now.
What's going on? What are you going to do, sir?
Here you are.
Oh.
The leg is set, nurse.
Will I take him back in the ward?
Yes.
I want 5 gallons.
What was that? What fell down?
That guy who's been yelling for the gas. He collapsed.
Well, I'd better service him right away. I'll examine his heart. Mm-hmm.
What is it, angina?
No, he broke a blood vessel.
The poor man. I'll run and get him his 5 gallons.
Oh, he don't need gas. With a broken blood vessel, all he's going to get is a local anesthetic.
Hollywood, California. The Town Hall News presents a 10-second preview of the new Warner Brother 5-star picture, The Charge of the Light Brigade. Here it is, The Charge of the Light Brigade.
Yes, what is it?
The light bill, lady. The charge is 4 1/4.
Tin Pan Alley, New York. The Town Hall News scoops the world of music and brings you a 1-second review of the number one song hit of the week. The song, A Star Fell Out of Heaven. Washington, D.C. Town Hall News beats metropolitan papers and shows country's leading politicians returning to Washington to ponder over voters' reactions at the polls. The polls.
Hello, Zabisco.
How do you be, Stanislaus?
Thank you so much for the news of the week, ladies and gentlemen. And now for the news behind the news. Reporters have just discovered a 3-year-old child who can answer more than 500 questions from memory. Now, tonight we show you what might happen if all of our children were that smart. Introducing and interviewing one of them at random, Baby Bobby.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, Mr. Von Zell, you may proceed with the interview.
Well, just what do you think of the election results, Bobby boy?
I'm very sorry, Mr. Von Zell, but I've made it a practice all my life never to involve myself in politics.
Oh, I see. Well, then, let's discuss something a little closer to home. What do you think of parents?
Oh, I think they're necessary, but I think they're a little difficult to bring up. They're so stubborn in their ideas.
Just how do you mean?
Well, the other day we were discussing the relative merits of toothpaste, and I couldn't, for the life of me, shake Father's belief that all dentifrices are alike.
Well, now, Bobby boy, maybe I can help you out there. All toothpastes are not alike. That's why we so strongly recommend Ipana, because not only does it clean and polish teeth, but when used with massage, has the extra advantage of helping tone and stimulate the gum.
My point exactly. Would you mind explaining why that's so necessary?
No, not at all. The soft, creamy foods we eat nowadays do not give our gums the exercise they need to keep them firm and healthy. And your teeth are seldom white and sparkling when your gums are soft and tender. So every time you brush your teeth with Ipana, if you'll massage your gums with a little extra Ipana, it will give them the toning and stimulation they need to help guard against serious gum trouble. Besides, it will help you have lovelier teeth and a far more attractive smile. So always remember Ipana for the smile of beauty.
Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just played Did You Mean It? Now, on Friday night...
Mr. Howard!
Oh, quiet.
Mr. Howard!
Quiet, please. If that's somebody breaking in a nightmare, this is no place for horseplay, I might say.
Hello!
Well, sir, they laughed when I walked up to the living skeleton. They didn't know we were bone companions. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, Papa sent me out to see who got elected, so I thought I'd stop in.
Well, didn't Papa get the returns over the radio?
Not yet. Our radio's pretty slow.
What's going on your radio tonight?
Mr. Lemke is still speaking from South Dakota.
That's fine. You ought to be getting the Yale-Dartmouth game any day now.
Oh, we know what's going on, all right.
You do, huh? What's hot in the way of news?
Well, the Baby Derby just finished up in Toronto, didn't it?
That's right. The contestants are grounding the stalk for the winter.
It's going to be pretty hard on those families that lose, don't you think?
Oh, yes. It's pretty tough to lose, you know, when you're left holding a full house.
Well, that's life, I guess.
What's life?
The world is a grindstone and life is your nose.
But don't... The world is a Don't tell me that you're going in for pessimism.
Oh, you don't have to drag religion into it.
Now, look, Wes, the times are changing, Portland. You have to adjust yourself. The world is speeding up. Life today is a mad race. Things move much faster today.
I thought something like that was going on.
It did, huh? What made you suspect that things are getting faster?
Well, I've only had this wristwatch a week, and it's gained an hour already.
Fine, now, if you'll speed up,
Oh, no, you don't. Elmer! Mr. Wow!
Mr. Well, a wow wouldn't help on the program right about now.
Come in, kid. Take a leg, Elmer.
I'm right on your heels like the General Spurs, boss.
Now, just a minute, fellas. If you two boys are calling on Simone, the girls are out.
Get a small helping of this broken-down MC, Elmer.
A very small helping. Just a nibble will do me, boss.
Do your relatives know where you boys are?
Yes, why?
In approximately 2 shakes of a lamb's appendage, your immediate families will be dickering with the neighborhood embalmer.
Now, don't start anything, Mr. Allen.
I'm trying to hold my temper, but I may have to put on another man.
Hey, if I start on you, Yokel, there won't be no part-time job.
You get it, Humpty?
Listen, what do you mean, Humpty? Listen, I'm apt to take your lower lip and pull it up over your scalp like a beret.
How will you hold it down in the back, Mr. Allen?
I'll tuck his lip down into his collar.
Yeah, well, you do, and you're going to hear plenty of conversation coming out of my back buttonhole.
Yeah, plenty of back talk, eh, Jean?
Now, look, Portland, what do these two lost stooges want?
Tell them who you are, Mr. Wow.
Why, brother, you are now in conference with Thebold Wow, radio author and gag man to His Majesty the Masses.
Right, and we got business with you, buddy.
I don't need an author for radio.
That isn't the consensus, Mr. Allen.
Look, I've been checking up on your programs, brother. You're working along the wrong line.
Yeah, a comedian is supposed to make people laugh.
I've heard people chuckling at Mr. Allen.
What chuckling? When I create for a comedian, he lays him in the aisles. Right, Elmer?
It's murder, boss.
Maybe you ought to let Mr. Wow give you some jokes, Mr. Allen.
Well,
but I don't bother with no titters and giggles. My gags are buffola.
What's a buffola? One of those things on the other side of a nickel?
No, we elucidate, boss. Folks, a buffola is a laugh that starts rolling around in the pit of your stomach. It rumbles up through your chest, popping buttons off your vest, and finally explodes in your mouth, blowing out your front teeth.
That's gastritis.
It sounds pretty strenuous for humor, Mr. Wow.
Now, wait a minute, you fellas. I've been in radio for 4 years.
And you ain't got a buffola yet. Why? Because you ain't using my radio technique.
What's wrong with Mr. Allen's technique, Mr. Wow?
He's trying to be sophisticated. He's ignoring the studio audience.
Why, certainly. You don't think these folks sitting around radio studios come in to get out of the rain. They want action.
Right.
Action?
Yeah, action. Ain't you ever heard them howls the other comedians get?
What howls?
Let them have it, Elmer.
Okay. Here comes Eddie wearing a suit made out of sponges.
What are you doing wearing them sponges, Eddie?
If it rains, I got a swell suit.
Wow!
Maybe you want to try Mr. Wow's technique, Mr. Allen.
Well, if you think it'll help the program.
Well, you'll be a sensation. Here, Portland, read this gag. Here's the answer for you, Alan.
Now, you're sure this is a buffola?
And how? Give out, Porty.
Question. What has 2 fins and flies?
Answer. A dead fish. That's the buffola. All I heard was plenty of nothing.
Why? Why? Because you ignored the boss's technique.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. There's a false nose goes with that joke. Here.
What do I do with this?
When you get to the finish, slip on the nose.
Yeah, try it again.
Okay, go ahead, Portland.
What has 2 fins and flies?
A dead fish.
What did I tell you? A buffola. You'll be the talk of radio. Here, try another joke.
Yeah, slip this on over your face when you finish, Alan.
Oh, I get the idea of it now.
Okay, buddy.
What's the best way to raise corned beef and tabby?
On a dumb waiter.
Oh, gee. That joke was rotten, but that small face is asleep, Mr. Allen.
Oh, boy, you're killing it.
You see, buddy, that's my technique. As long as you got funny clothes, you're wearing a false face, you're a panic on the radio.
Well, what about the people listening at home?
They're playing bridge anyway. Who cares?
Have you got another big laugh so that Mr. Allen can finish?
Have I? Get a load of this super buffola. Take it away, Porty.
I'm ready.
Now, what do I do this time?
Just tell the gag and wink.
Yeah, I'll do the rest. Let it go, girlie.
All right. My uncle was a high liver, but it finally killed him.
I know. His liver got so high, it put out his life. said I'm going down for the third time in this seltzer here. Who squirted that seltzer in my face?
Well, that's your big radio finish, man.
Yes, and this is your finish, too. And you, Portland.
I know, Sally. Oh.
And now that... I'll have to send out an SOS after that. And now that... It was very good. While I was drowning, I saw two mermaids I think want to audition for the amateur show here. And now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the boys sing a medley of college songs from Stanford, Wisconsin, Amherst, and All Points West, leaving on track 2-4, boys. Thank you, and thank you, boys, and congratulations.
Well, how about me, Fred?
Now, don't tell me that your soothing baritone was augmenting the quartet, Harry.
No, not that.
Well, then why be congratulated?
Well, this is my anniversary, Fred. I've been on this program with you 1 year tonight.
Oh, why didn't you remind me sooner, Harry? I'd have had Portland run up a cake for you. Is there anything special you'd like to do or say to commemorate the occasion?
Well, Fred, how would it be if I said exactly the same thing tonight that I said a year ago?
All right, Harry, it's your anniversary.
Well, just 1 year ago, ladies and gentlemen, when I first appeared on this program, I said, if you start off the day feeling dull and logy, not quite up to par, will you take my tip and do this? Just put 2 teaspoonfuls of salepatica in a glass of water and drink it. Because that dull here today, gone tomorrow feeling is so often due to waste in the body and acid in the system. And sal hepatica is the mineral salt laxative that not only removes waste from the body, but also combats acidity. So if you'll always keep a friendly bottle of sal hepatica on hand, it will more than do its part to keep you feeling fit, alert, and normal.
You know, Harry, it doesn't seem a year ago that you first recommended sal hepatica.
No, I know it doesn't, Fred, and it doesn't seem 40 years ago that physicians first recommended it. But they did, and that's how long men and women everywhere have remembered sal hepatica. For the smile of health. Well, there's the theme song of the Mighty Allen Art Players, and they'll be with you immediately after your station announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have ever done us a dirty trick, we are about to get our revenge by presenting the Mighty Allen Art Players. Tonight, these crows in the cornfield of the drama present a Hollywood masterpiece entitled Studio Strategy, or in Hollywood, all of the monkey business isn't confined to the zoo. Overture, Peter.
Titanic Picture Company. No, Mr. Allen isn't here. He's in the cutting room. Yes, he's working on the actor's salaries. Oh, all right, I'll tell him when he comes in.
Was that phone for me, Miss Tate?
Yes, the story department is standing by.
Oh, good. Take a note. Story department. Gentlemen. ? I want that scenario on Lady Godiva right away. Then get busy on Three Men on a Horse. I want Three Men on a Horse to follow Lady Godiva.
Don't worry, they will.
I've got to speed up these features, Miss Tate.
Why the rush?
I'm using the same horse in both pictures.
That's what I call casting.
A hit picture has to have a follow-up, Miss Tate.
You certainly followed up Cocktails for Two.
My sequel, Mickey Finn's for Three, will make a fortune.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Gesundheit.
Send me a memo.
Where's that draft coming from?
They're rehearsing Gone with the Wind on stage B.
I'll close this window.
Fine. Now, what's my first appointment?
The Yes Man's audition. They're outside.
Oh, open the door. I can hear them all right from here.
Mr. Allen's ready, boys.
Yes.
That's enough.
Well, what's the verdict?
I won't need these Yes Men, Miss Tate.
Why not?
I just found out there's an echo in here. I can yes myself for the time being. I've got to cut down expenses.
I thought your new jungle picture was going to make $1 million.
Why, it will. Africa Squeaks, starring my man monkey sensation Apo, was released from coast to coast last night. I'm expecting reports this morning.
Oh, I forgot. Some telegrams did come in.
Well, where are they?
Right here.
Here we are. Now for the good news. Capitol Theater, Greasy Fork, Nebraska. Africa Squeaks opened with a bang. Somebody dropped a bomb in the balcony. Audience offering $50 reward for Apo, dead or alive.
And you said that man monkey was another Robert Taylor.
I thought I had another Simeon there for sure. The women ought to go for a leading man with hair on his chest.
Or vice versa. What do those other wires say?
Van Buren, Arkansas. Africa Squeaks is a riot. Girl fans organizing new Apo Scram Club. 200 schoolgirls pledge themselves to scram when next Apo picture appears. Hoping this finds you the same, etc., 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 manager. This is terrible. I can't be bothered reading the...
Oh, look, this wire isn't so bad. Duluth. Africa Squeaks does 10,000 in one night.
Good old Duluth. What else does it say?
Theater featured Bank Night, Screeno, Bino, Lotto, and Blotto. Forgot to show pictures.
If Apo's a bust, I'm ruined.
I told you to get Lou Gehrig for that part.
Yes. A first baseman could have played that part, I guess, better than Apo. Every cent I have is tied up in Africa Squeaks.
Well, the studio isn't ruined yet. What about your new picture, Passion on the Lamb?
Passion on the Lamb, starring Fruity Tadpole, America's sweetheart, has got to come through.
Is it a great picture?
It's got to be great. If it's only colossal, I'm sunk. Who's that?
America's sweetheart is waiting to see you.
Wheel her in. Fruity Tadpole, and how is America's sweetheart today?
I'm through. I'm finished. I'm going back to my first love.
Don't mention Daniel Boone around here.
I'm disgraced, Effie.
What's wrong?
I've just seen my new starring picture, Passion on the Lamb.
You've made celluloid history, I hope.
History? Your Russian director, Pierre Slobotny, has blasted my career.
So, who is saying Pierre Slobotny without taking off the hat?
Now, hold it, Slobotny.
Pierre Slobotny is the greatest director of all the Russians.
A director?
Yes, a director. In Moscow, Pierre Slobotny is directing everything. From Rasputin to traffic.
That's what you should be doing instead of directing a movie star.
In America, you are a movie star. In Russia, you are a chambermaid.
Now watch those Slavic innuendos, Slobotny. Don't forget.
The group told me I'd rule the day I left 14th Street.
What's wrong with your epic, Trudy?
I am supposed to be the star of Passion on the Lamb. And I'm only on the screen for me. In the first reel, I go in a revolving door.
And at the end of the picture, she is coming out again. The end of the picture, I am cutting.
Good Gensler, this is terrible.
That Russian monster.
Yes, Slobotny. Trudy Tadpole is the star of Passion on the Lamb.
if I'm not too inquisitive. Why isn't she in the picture?
Confidentially, it's your fault.
You lie, Slobotny.
The fourth day I am directing the picture, you are taking me to the set. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. I am asking you who is the star of the picture. I am the director. I have a right to know, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. You are pointing to a girl sitting on the chair. Yes or no?
Yes.
I am making a picture starring the girl.
Why, you Cossack chowderhead. You've made a picture starring the script girl.
No.
So I made a mistake. It could happen to a dog.
It has, you Russian wolfhound. You're fired.
Then Pierre Slobotny resigned, yes or no?
Yes.
You bet.
What am I going to do?
What are you going to do? What is Titanic Pictures going to do? Ape oh my jungle gable, laying monkey eggs all over the country. Passion on the Lamb is a bigger flop than Carnera's bed.
You can't star Trudy Tadpole going through a revolving door.
If these two pictures don't do business, Titanic is bankrupt.
The audience only sees me twice.
That'll help some, but I've got to get an idea. Miss Tate?
Yes, S.A.?
Buzz for Rant and Rave, my publicity man.
Yes, sir.
I might make a personal appearance.
No, no, no. The Smithsonian Institute doesn't play guest stars. You ought to know that. Now, let me think.
You buzzed, F.A.?
Yes, Rave. My two new pictures are busts. Africa Squeaks and Passion on the Lamb are only stupendous.
Gee, that's too bad, boss.
You've got to get an idea, Rave. Publicity is the only thing that can save the day.
I got it, Chief. It's a wow.
Sounds great, Rave.
I ain't explained it yet.
I'm way ahead of you, Rave. It's terrific.
I must be dumb. I don't get it. What is the big idea?
A wedding. Trudy, you got to marry April. The papers will eat it up. Africa Squeaks and Passion on the Lamb will clean up.
No, anything but a wedding.
Now listen, Trudy. Dick Powell and Joan Blondell got married, didn't they? Did you see that publicity? Why, as they sailed into New York Harbor, the Warner Brothers had 4,000 seagulls spell out Gold Diggers of 1937.
No, no,
your
no.
Your contract says you'll marry anybody the company names for publicity purposes. Now, where's April?
Outside. He's been following me around all day. He thinks my derby is a coconut.
Well, get him in here.
Okay, I got the cameraman holding his leash. April!
How's tricks, Apo?
Oh, we're going to have a lot in common.
Now, no cracks, Trudy. Get that cameraman in here.
Boy?
Yes, Mr. Rave.
Set up that camera, son.
Yes, sir.
I'll turn my collar around and stand in for the minister. We'll get you married later.
Now, you get the idea, Apo? You're getting married.
No, no. No, married. You, Trudy, Niagara Falls.
What's he trying to say?
Well, maybe it's I do in jungle.
I'm set with the camera, F.A.
Now, you take Trudy's hand, Apo.
Here, come on, you beast, let go of me.
Yes, hold the rough stuff, Apo. You ain't married yet.
Stop it, Apo. Oh, look, he's torn my sleeve.
Great, the fans will love it. Gorilla love. It'll give those couples in movie theaters some new ideas.
But this rip, it shows my birthmark. I've got a big strawberry here on my left elbow.
Apo won't know the difference. Let's go.
All set, Apo. What do you say?
I say the wedding's off.
Apo,
you can talk.
Now, no legerdemain, Apo. Is that your voice coming out of that monkey skin?
Yeah.
I thought you were an African ape man, Apo.
No, I ain't no more of an ape than you are.
This is no time for comparisons, Apo. Explain yourself.
Well, I ran away from home 20 years ago, and things got tough, and I've been posing as an ape man to get in the pictures.
But you can still go through with this wedding. If you don't save these two pictures, Apo, Titanic is sunk.
But I can't marry this woman.
America's sweetheart, jilted by an ape man. This is an insult.
I'll say it is.
Why can't you get hitched, Apo?
That strawberry on her left elbow.
Well, what about it?
Look at my left elbow, here.
A strawberry.
What is your name, Apo?
Pulteney Tadpole.
My long lost darling.
Grandma.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Now, before we introduce our amateurs, let's have a little rehearsal on how we'll vote for them when they're called back for your final selection. Introducing first, the young man who spoke so well on Ipana Toothpaste, Harry Von Zell. And now, the young man who spoke so well about Sal Hepatica, Harry Von Zell.
And what does the machine say, Harry?
Coming right up, Fred.
Thank you. The applause machine shows that Harry Von Zell wins your approval and a 45-second engagement on the town hall program. Go ahead, Harry.
Well, I only have one thing to say, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sure it won't take that long. Tonight, when you brush your teeth, if you should see a tinge of pink on your brush, by all means, see your dentist tomorrow. It may be a sign of serious gum trouble. However, pink toothbrush is far more likely to be a simple warning of gums robbed of exercise by our soft modern food. Gums that will respond to the healthful stimulation of Ipana toothpaste and massage. Why not begin tonight to massage your gums with Ipana every time you brush your teeth with it? For in that way, you'll be giving your gums the toning and stimulation they need to help guard against serious gum trouble. And besides, you'll have whiter, brighter teeth. Just remember Ipana for the smile of beauty. Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours are playing Did I Remember, a number high on your list of favorites. Town Hall Amateur Contest. Here comes Fred leading a very special group of amateurs out to the microphone. And before they begin, let's give them a real town hall reception. Come on.
Thank you. Yes, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, all of our amateur guest stars come from the city of Baltimore, Maryland. As usual, they are going to compete for a first prize of $100 and a second prize of $50 in cash. Now, you folks here in the town hall will select your own winners. Your applause after each act will be recorded on our applause machine, and the two acts receiving the highest applause ratings will be called back later so that you may make your final selections. Now, first tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome from the beautiful city of Baltimore the Echo Boys. The Echo Boys, Ray, how do you pronounce your name? Ray Ault and Howard Wilkins, right? You fellas both live in Baltimore, huh?
Yes.
Uncle Jim tells me that you won the prize at his for the week at his contest held at the Hippodrome Theater last week.
Yes.
That's also correct, huh? You fellas go to school down in Baltimore? Do you work there? Or?
We work. Butler Brothers.
The Butler Brothers?
Yes.
What is that, a grocery?
No, it's a shirt factory.
Oh, sure. It just shows you at the rate of exchange, the Butler stores here are grocery stores. It just shows you what a whale of a difference a few miles make. The Butler Brothers Shirt Factory, huh?
Yes.
What sort of... You don't mind. It's rather interesting to me.
Yes.
You don't mind telling me what you do in the shirt factory, do you?
I'm a stock clerk.
A stock clerk?
Yes.
You don't have anything to do with assembling the shirts or putting them together, do you?
No, sir.
Do they make them in the... they make them in the factory there?
Yes.
I often wondered who they who goes around, what sneaky individual is it who goes around and makes his life's work the hiding of pins in different places in the shirt so that you don't run across them until after you've had them on 2 or 3 days. How long does it take to make a shirt?
I guess a couple of minutes. A
couple of minutes, huh?
Yes.
Well, it doesn't take the laundry much longer to get it apart again, does it? It would be a shame to put too much work into a shirt and then send it out and have you get back 4 buttons and a laundry mark. It would be hard. I've been Well, I won't. I was going to contend. Shirt business ought to be very good, boys. I imagine a lot of people lost their shirts on the election. I think you'll go back to find things picking up. But you play the piano and sing, Roy and Howard, huh?
Yes.
And what are you going to play and sing tonight?
The Blackbirds and Bluebirds Get Together.
Blackbirds and Bluebirds Get Together. All yes. Right, you can go right over to the piano, and that microphone is all set up there, and you can help yourself. I meant to ask you one thing before you started, boys. Is it true that the shirt can be happy? Is that true, do you know?
Yes, sir.
I was wondering, I've seen shirts hanging out in backyards on the line, and they were wagging their tails. I was wondering. Well, all right. When the blackbirds and bluebirds get together.
Now, first the bluebird says, we've got to have sunny weather. So the bluebirds and the blackbirds got together. Ba 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 da, ba 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 da, whoa, ba da. Troubles, troubles round my door. Blackbirds, blackbirds by the score. Bluebirds, bluebirds came one day and said to the blackbirds, hear her say. First the bluebird says, we gotta have sunny weather. So the bluebirds and the blackbirds got together. Then the blackbird says, we're birds of a different feather. So the bluebirds and the blackbirds got together. And when they talked it over, they let the blackbirds bring rain. And then the bluebirds all agreed to bring that sunshine again. For we can't have rain nor sunshine that lasts forever. Whoop, boo, boo, boo. You can take those bluebirds, take those blackbirds, mix them together, you get fair weather. That's the reason the bluebirds and the blackbirds got together.
And now may I present Miss Elaine, pardon me, how do you pronounce your name?
Piper.
Miss Piper, huh? There's an extra F in there that you're not using, huh?
No.
Probably use that when you're singing. How old are you, Elaine?
16.
You're 16, sweet 16, huh? Have you, and you live in Baltimore?
Yes.
Is this your first trip to New York?
Second.
Second trip, huh? You like it better the second time than you did the first?
Yes, sir.
You do, huh? You like New York better than Baltimore, do you think?
Well, I'm not very used to New York yet.
Well, it takes a little time. It grows on you if you don't watch out. It overtakes you. But what has Baltimore got that New York hasn't got?
I don't know.
I can tell you one thing, a B&O Depot. But have you seen the sights? Have you seen the Empire State Building?
No, sir.
You haven't, huh?
No.
I don't see how you could miss it when you get... I don't know, though. It's like all those things. You stand on the street and look up at this thing there. You see one or two stories, you've seen them all. It's just... I came by there today. I heard footsteps. I imagine there's a man in there today pacing the floor. I don't know. Take up your time, Elaine. I'm just going to ask you what you like this. I think you better come on this side of the microphone, too, because then you can see the piano play. I'm just going to ask you what you're going to sing.
When did you leave heaven?
When? Oh. Good heavens, are my wings showing again? All right, when did you leave heaven? Thank you.
When did you leave heaven? How could they let you go? How's everything in heaven? I'd like to know. Why did you trade heaven for all these earthly things? Where did you hide your halo? Where did you lose your wings? Have they missed you? Can you get back in if I kiss you?
Pfeiffer, thank you very much. And now, Mr. Ed Kramer, an accordionist. You're also from Baltimore, Mr.
Yes,
Kramer.
Sir.
Did you have much trouble lugging the machine up here?
Quite a bit.
Did, huh? Accordion's rather a difficult instrument, isn't it?
It's very difficult.
I imagine it's just as hard to play in Baltimore as it is up here in New York. Probably have more room to play it down here. The rooms are so small, a fellow wants to play an accordion has to open the window. And last four bars of When Did You Leave Heaven are apt to be outside. His hands out in the street. But what are you going to... Oh, I know a little about the accordion. I had an uncle used to play. The only trouble was every four bars he used to play, he'd yell, ow. Like he'd play a... da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh! And I finally asked him, I said, why is it, uncle? Why do you yell every four bars? And he says, whenever I close the accordion in, it pinches my stomach. Of course, that has nothing. Mr. Kramer, I'm just going to ask you what you're going to play.
12th Street Rag.
12th Street Rag. Thank you. Thank you very much. And now from Baltimore also, Miss Helen Allison. How are you tonight, Miss Allison?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And you are an impersonator?
That's right.
You are, huh? Do you impersonate birds and woodchucks and things like that, or?
Oh, no, comedians.
Oh, comedians, huh? Well, what comedians do you impersonate?
Well, I impersonate Mr. Allen. Do you get around a little? I thought maybe.
Oh, Mr. Allen. On days when I'm not myself, I run across him occasionally. do you impersonate me?
I make an attempt at it.
Do you? And just me, or do you do Portland too?
I do Portland also.
Oh, that. How did you decide, of all the people in the world, how did you decide to select us?
I always admired your style of acting.
Well, that's swell. I want to get your name and address. People often ask me if we have a fan, and I just sort of fuss around and don't have much to say. But I'm going to ask you to go right ahead. I know you don't want me to butt in here. You just go right ahead and do what you'd like to do.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before booting the drop kick of fun, I'll read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, plain and fancy grocer.
Mr. Allen! Mr. Allen!
Quiet, quiet, please. If that's Pocahontas paging John Smith, I'll paddle your little canoe if I come down there. Hello! Well, sir, they left when I left Maine. They didn't know Portland would follow through. I'll say, and I'm here to sell you a magazine. A magazine? Yes, I'm working Papa's way through college. Oh, I get it. Papa wants to become a G-man. Well, not exactly. Papa's willing to start at Z and work his way up. He'll get as far as X marks the spot. Run along, I'm busy. Is that nice? Don't be shy. Buy something. Oh, give me liberty or give me death. I have haven't got those, but I'll give you a true detective. That's on it. Goodbye, Portland. Tally-ho!
Miss Helen, Helen Allison. Thank you, Helen. I hope Portland and I don't get fired, you know. There's a great trend toward economy tonight. If word gets around that one person can do that work, we'll probably be... we'll probably be back down in Baltimore tomorrow. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce Ray and Steve. Who is Ray and who is Steve?
Well, I'm Ray.
You're Ray.
I'm Steve.
And you're Steve, huh? Boys, Uncle Jim tells me that you are songwriters. You have ambitions to write songs. Is that right?
Right.
Have you written many songs up to date?
Oh, I suggest about 10 or 15.
10 or 15. Have you had any published?
Never had any published.
You haven't. That's, well, it takes a little time, you know, today.
Oh, don't we know, huh?
styles and songs change rapidly, you know. Years ago, you've got to sort of be on the... up to the minute, if you're going to get into songwriting seriously. Years ago, I remember mothers used to put their babies to sleep singing Love Me and the World Is Mine and and put on your old gray bonnet. Nowadays, the mother's going out, she drags the crib over to the radio and turns on I'm an Old Cowhand. Boys, a song like the Old Cowhand, the words aren't bad. It's the air that a lot of people... But, fellas, are you going to play one of your original songs tonight?
Well, Steve will play it, and I'll sing it.
All right. You can go right over to the piano. Steve, and what is the title of the song, right?
It's called To Me.
To Me. Perhaps you better stand over here, and then you can see the piano. Thanks.
Come on.
Guess you know the way I feel and what you mean to me, my sweet, yet you seem to shy away from me. Do my speeches lack appeal? Please tell me what's wrong. To me you stand aces high, and here are some reasons why. To me, you're like a snow-capped mountain. You're even sweeter than a soda fountain. Daddy, you're the road to Mandalay, as Lawrence Tibbett would say. To me, you're like a homemade pancake, the ecstasy from any screen star's handshake. Daddy, you're the road to my success, the Gable Hollow caress. Now I could go on forever analyzing your sweet personality. For heaven's sake, please give me a break. You know this isn't just a casualty to me. You're like a fat man's laughter, a bromo seltzer on the morning after. Daddy, ho, ho, ho. You're the grace Fred Astaire, a Dion quintuplet scare. To me, to me, to me.
Ray and Steve, thank you very much, boys. And now may I present John Evans. How are you, Mr. Evans?
Fine.
And you're going to sing us a baritone solo, am I right?
That's right.
And what solo are you going to sing?
Without a song.
Without a song? Well, you just fake something. I know. I know you baritones. All right, without a song. Thank you.
Without a song, the day would never end. Without a song, the day would never end. When things go wrong, a man ain't got a friend. Without a song, that field of corn would never see a plow. That field of corn would be deserted now. A darkey's born, but he's no good no how. Without a song, I got my trouble and woe, but sure as I know the Jordan will roll. But I'll get along as a song is strong in my soul. I'll never know what makes the rain. I'll never know
What makes the grass so tall? I only know there ain't no love at all without a song.
John Evans. And that concludes our amateur contest for Baltimore, ladies and gentlemen. And now, while I find out from the applause machine how the amateurs have registered with you, you're going to find out from Harry Von Zell just how you have registered with us. All right, Harry.
We are very pleased that so many of you have spent this past hour with us, ladies and gentlemen, both here in Town Hall and at your radios at home. These programs with Fred Allen are for your enjoyment. We hope in return you remember the two products that make them possible. Ipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica. All right, Fred, have you got the results ready?
Yes, Harry. Things are all tied up here in a knot. The applause meter divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the following acts, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Elaine Pfeiffer, the Echo Boys, Miss Helen Allison, and Ray and Steve. Now, I'm going to ask Harry, the whole thing is tied up, they're all about even here. I'm going to ask Harry to hold his hand over the heads of these boys and girls as I call the names, and I'm going to ask you to kindly applaud just once again, if you will, and select your winners for first and second prizes. Now, first, the young lady who sang When Did You Leave Heaven So Well, Miss Elaine Pfeiffer. And then the two boys from Butler Brothers Shirt Factory, who sang Bluebirds and Blackbirds, the Echo Boys. And then the young lady who imitated Mr. Allen and Miss Hoffer, Fred and Portland, Miss Helen Allison. And then the two boys who sang their own original song to me, Ray and Steve. Thank you. And what does the machine say, Harry?
Okay.
Thank you. The first prize of $100 in cash, ladies and gentlemen, goes to Ray and Steve, who sang their own original song. The second prize of $50 in cash goes to Miss Elaine Pfeiffer, the young lady who sang When Did You Leave Heaven? Thank you all, boys and girls, and I know that Baltimore will be proud of your contest tonight. And don't forget next Wednesday night for another hour of smiles in the Old Town Hall, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fred, spelled Ipana. Alan, spelled Sal Hepatica, saying good night.
This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.